You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Mental health workers in Aotearoa have long coordinated with police across their work for resourcing and support. Police policy, however, has been taking a step back from being involved in mental health work. An incident last year that left mental health workers with inadequate police support has led to the Public Service Association, or PSA, to lodge a complaint with the Independent Police Conduct Authority. To discuss their complaint and how police policy is failing mental health workers, I spoke to the PSA's National Secretary, Fleur Fitzsimmons. Okay, Fleur, with this complaint that you're giving to the IPCA, what's motivated it?
Really, we're asking the Independent Police Conduct Authority to look into a particular incident that happened to a mental health worker on the 21st of November last year, where they were unable to access police support they and colleagues deemed necessary for a difficult and distressing situation. We're asking the Independent Police Conduct Authority to look into not only that, but also police policy as it relates to police support for mental health work. In the past, there's been a strong commitment from police to be supporting mental health workers. But as a part of the cost cutting back in 2024, the police have walked away from that support and are instead adopting what they call a health first approach. But we certainly don't see it that way. We see it as the police washing their hands of supporting vulnerable health workers in distressing situations, and their vulnerability comes from the distress and of the situation. So we really want those health workers to be properly supported, including having their phone calls answered by police and police deploying appropriate resources when these workers ask for it.
What are the dangers here for mental health workers if the current policy stays on track?
The dangers are significant and the consequences could be tragic, and it's not overstating it to say that mental health workers deal with people in distress. That is a core part of the role, and in many cases those people can be volatile and violent, and those workers need to be provided with all the support necessary to keep them safe. We don't accept that any violence against mental health workers is acceptable or should be factored into a policy setting. We expect the policy settings to keep every mental health worker safe at work. And that means that the police do need to be available when called, and they need to respond to those calls. And the system that we had in the past, where police would support mental health workers with things like travel when they were transporting a particular patient from one place to another, and that patient was known to be volatile, the police supported that transportation. We're asking for that to come back and for mental health workers to have the ability to get that support from police when they deem it necessary. And it really does boil down to a safety at work issue for mental health workers.
With the Mental Health Response Change Program, which is the policy that saw the adjustment in police policy, there's been a step back from police involvement in areas where there isn't inherent criminality going on. How do you feel about that in this context, where mental health workers might be vulnerable or might be expected to be vulnerable?
We're really concerned about the Mental Health Response Change Program. And just going back to the reason for it, police talk about it being around a healthcare first approach. But actually, when it was originally implemented, this change in response, it was done because the police were needing to save money. So let's not beat around the bush. It is a cost-saving initiative dressed up as health first. And really, if you look at it, they have phased it over what they're calling four distinct phases. We're now at the third of those four phases. Even from phase one, mental health workers were ringing alarm bells and saying that they were concerned they would be less safe at work. We did a survey of mental health workers and asked them, do you think these changes by police will have an impact on your safety? 91% of those workers said they thought it would. Now, In any decent society, if 91% of workers say that a position from the police or a state agency is going to make them unsafe, that would be stopped. But instead it's been carried on, and we're now seeing the consequences that have led us to complain to the Independent Police Conduct Authority. And really that's why we're going to the IPCA. Health New Zealand has had this raised with them. The police have. We've raised it with government ministers. But we still get the same response, that police are committed to this four phases of approach. We're concerned that the whole policy shift by police puts workers at risk and really needs to be thought about more carefully. And we're certainly up for that conversation, and we'd suggest that police and the government engage directly with mental health workers and understand exactly what they think should be happening, because there are changes that could be made to how support was provided, but it's certainly not police not answering phone calls when distressed workers ring. And that's what's happened, and that's what's led us to make this complaint to the IPCA late last year.
With the idea that this is mainly about cost saving, do you feel the focus on health is a bit misleading?
Yeah, it's not a health-first approach at all. And if it was, it would take into account the health and the safety of mental health workers. It's not doing that. It's putting their safety at risk. It's a joke to call it a health-first approach. Those workers need to be able to get the support from police when they deem it necessary. And look, these are professional mental health workers. They don't ring police and ask for support lightly. They have a whole lot of de-escalation techniques. They have a whole lot of understanding of particular patients who are volatile, what triggers that, how they can be supported. They don't do this lightly, so they're not asking for constant police presence all the time in their work. They know that wouldn't be appropriate. But I've heard from them that there are instances for particular mental health patients where the presence of the police is not only supporting of the worker and their safety, but also supports the situation and the client in terms of de-escalating and dealing with that. So there's multiple layers around why the support from police is so important, not only to members of the public, workers, but also to the patients themselves.
If you were at the PSA and the police had a discussion about this kind of policy, what would your hopes be walking out of that? What are some suggestions or different policy gearings that you feel would be productive?
Well, I think the starting point needs to be to listen to the workers who do this work every day, who many of them have got long careers in mental health. They know and understand these communities they support, and they really deal with the families, they deal with the patients, but they also have a good understanding of when to talk to police and how police can best respond. So the starting point would be to say, we'll do a genuine co-design with this workforce. We'll listen to them, we'll respect them, we'll resource them to be properly engaged in these conversations. And that would be a genuine commitment to a health-first approach and supporting those workers, mental health patients and their families.
That was the PSA's National Secretary, Fleur Fitzsimmons, on their complaint to the Independent Police Conduct Authority on behalf of mental health workers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.